Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, the story is told about a man and his ever-nagging wife who went on vacation to Jerusalem. While they were there, unfortunately, the wife passed away. The undertaker told the husband, "You can have her shipped home for $5,000, or you can bury her here in the Holy Land for $150. The man thought about it and told him that he would just have to have her shipped home. The undertaker asked, "Well, why would you spend $5,000 to ship her home when you can bury her here in the Holy Land for $150? And the man replied, "Long ago, a man died here, was buried here, and 3 days later, rose from the dead. I just can't take that chance." Contrary to this funny little story, the resurrection is the message that alleviates all fear and gives the hope of eternal life to every person who places their faith in Jesus, the Savior of the world. This afternoon, our Traditions Fellowship will be hosting a Yom HaShoah, which translates to the Day of the Holocaust. This is a day established to remember our Jewish friends and stand alongside them and making sure that we never forget what can happen when we don't stand up against evil. The Jews have been a persecuted people since they left Egypt approximately 1400 BC. They have been subject to the threat of violence and death at the hands of the Egyptian Pharaoh, the kings of Persia and Babylon, the Greeks, the Romans, and sadly even Christians. In the past century, Jews suffered at the hands of many groups, but primarily at the hands of Hitler's Third Reich, which murdered 6 million. And today, radically, portions of Islam that seek to utterly destroy the nation of Israel and all the Jewish people. As Christians, we should support any person or people who are threatened with murder, but we have a special kinship and loyalty to our Jewish brethren. The reason this is true is based on what St. Paul says in his epistle to the Romans and the Ephesians. In Ephesians, he writes that we were at one time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. In other words, without the Jewish people, and more specifically, our Jewish Messiah, we would have no hope of knowing God. It is by God's establishment of a covenant with Israel that God would establish a new covenant where his special grace would be poured out on all of us, Gentiles. Therefore, it should be our first goal, as it was for Jesus and the apostles, to convince the Jewish people that Jesus is their promised Savior. Many of you know that I regularly go to a local Starbucks and where I fellowship with several Jewish friends. I do so out of a genuine desire to build relationships with the Jewish people, that they might come to embrace their Messiah, Jesus. I believe the scriptures that there is no other name given amongst men by which we must be saved. And today's epistle that says, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." So this past week, we were talking about Passover and the Easter holidays. And one of the men showed up alone this week and was complaining to me about all the rules regarding keeping the Passover and maintaining the Sabbath. And as he talked about the various rules, I commented that they appeared to him to be a burden. And he acknowledged the same. This opened the door for me to recall Jesus' statements to the Jews of his day, who created this burden of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was given as a grace, but in order to safeguard it, the Jews created new laws not given by God. Jesus' correction to these man-made laws was, quote, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." He acknowledged to me that he felt it was all a sham, and he really didn't know why he kept doing it. So I told him St. Paul felt the very same way about just going through the motions of religion. St. Paul said that if Jesus Christ was not risen from the dead, then we should all just eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But the resurrection changes everything. It creates a new way in which we relate to God, and it erases all our fears of God and man. In our gospel appointed for today, we find the disciples of Jesus gathered together on that Sunday evening with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. The Jews had turned over Jesus to the authorities, and he was condemned and crucified on the cross just 3 days earlier. All the disciples had fled in fear after they arrested Jesus, except John and Mary, his mother. Peter followed from afar to see what would become of his Lord and Master. And when Jesus was condemned and Peter was accused of being his disciple, he denied his Lord and Master 3 times. But on Resurrection Sunday, Jesus came to his disciples and pronounced peace to them. After Jesus said, "Peace be with you," he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And then Jesus said again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And he breathed upon them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." Now in this scene, we find our Savior showing his disciples how they are to overcome fear by becoming ambassadors of forgiveness and peace to the whole world. Now in the ancient Near East, the customary salutation when people came together was "Peace be with you." Some churches continue this tradition of passing the peace during their services. However, in this salutation of Jesus, there is something greater and more significant that is being expressed here. This is signified by Jesus repeating this phrase twice and by what he calls his disciples to do afterward. When Jesus was crucified, all hope regarding God and Jesus as their Messiah had been destroyed. All that remained was the fear of capture, judgment, and possible death. But Jesus' resurrection completely overturned the hearts of his disciples with joy. The peace that Jesus conveyed to them was that he was that promised Messiah and Savior. His resurrection from the dead, displayed by his hands and side, demonstrated that Jesus had the power not only to overcome death, but as God, to forgive sins. This hope of resurrection and authority to forgive sins, he now passed on to his disciples to declare and pronounce to those who put their faith in Jesus. Now, this pattern of declaring peace occurred when an offering was brought to the priest for sin, and the priest would pronounce the Aaronic blessing of peace upon the offerer. He would say, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." This declaration of peace was given because sin had been atoned for, and peace was now restored between God and the person. Christ's declaration amidst his disciples was the news that eternal peace had been accomplished between God and man through his person. Jesus, the offerer, the offering, and the priest, had performed the eternal act of reconciling God and man for all time, and now calls his disciples to declare and pronounce this same forgiveness and peace to all the nations. No longer is man to be subject to fear, living under tyranny of sin and death. Now man is able to live at peace with God, knowing that Christ has made us acceptable unto the Father. Now we can live into our faith by love without fear of failing or falling short. We can joyfully obey God's word, not to attain to a status with God, but out of love for what God has accomplished for us and for love of his righteous commands. It is out of this love and joy that we seek to share the good news with others about the matchless grace of God. A God who loves us, not only mercifully provides forgiveness to helpless sinners, but seeks to make us like himself. C.S. Lewis said, "The Christian does not think God will love us because we are good, but that God will make us good because he loves us." Since we have received such a gift, shouldn't we share it with everyone we meet? May God give us grace today and this week to meditate upon the love that God has shown us. God has forgiven us all our sins. He has adopted us as his sons and daughters, and he has promised us eternal life through his only Son. By this love and grace, may he embolden us to be his ambassadors of grace to those who are trapped in a world fear with tyranny of fear and doubt, to embrace the resurrected Christ. Amen. Now let's remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who says, "More blessed to give than to receive."